All right, y'all would open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 12 to 17. The Apostle John says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven, you for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. Now, in our last study, we looked at what was new about the old commandment. And what was new is that Jesus fulfilled the old commandment. Amen. And Matthew 5:18. Jesus said, for truly, truly, I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest. Oh, I'm reading verse 18, verse 17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. It's like what Cheryl said. Jesus showed us what it was like to love God and to love people. Jesus just didn't talk about his faith. He lived out his faith. Amen. You know, faith is more than words. A lot of people can tell you all the right answers, but they have no love for God or for people. That's dead. There's no life in that. Amen. In fact, it talks about it in 1 Corinthians verse 13, and I didn't write that one down, but we talked about it Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians. Let me turn there right quick. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Amen. So the bottom line for Christianity is we are known as his disciples because of the way we love God and the way we love each other. If we're not loving people, then we're not portraying Christianity. You know, Christ didn't just meet the needs of his disciples. He just didn't meet the needs of the Israelites. Christ met the needs of whoever had a need. Amen? You know, and this church is not a club where we just help people in this church. We help people no matter who they are or where they go to church. And the reason we help them is because we love them. Amen? God should have put a compassion in your heart for other people. Not just for the people who attend church here, but for people in general. Amen? When Jesus was on earth, he just didn't say, well, I'm going to help out my disciples here. This is my group. And the rest, I'm sorry, I can't help you. That's not what he did. He healed people who didn't even ask him to be healed. Amen? But he knew they had a need, and he extended himself in that direction. Jesus met the needs of the people around him. He was used as a vessel of mercy, sanctified and useful to the master. Amen? And it should be the same way for us. God should be able to use us in our community or where we work or wherever we go to be a blessing to other people. People should know us as being a blessing. Amen? Not as being religious or self-righteous, but as being a blessing. People don't care what you know till they know that you care. Amen? Do people know you care about them? Do they know you love them? How do they know? By what you say or by what you do? What you do is a lot more powerful than what you say. Amen? You know, a lot of people can say a lot of things, but it don't really amount to nothing because they're not doing anything with what they know. They're not practicing their faith. This is the word we have heard from the beginning of our salvation, which is true in him and in you. Experience his love and his forgiveness for ourselves, loving God and loving man. Amen. You know, God forgave me. Why should I be not able to forgive others when they sin against me? If I've been forgiven, then I can forgive. But people who don't understand what they've been forgiven, they can't forgive. They hold grudges. They live in bitterness and in anger and in resentment. Amen. They don't know what it is to be forgiven. They haven't experienced the love that God has for them. Amen. Now he says this, we don't cover our sin, but we confess our sin, continuing to walk in the light of God's grace and mercy, extending his forgiveness to others, loving our brother. Amen. We love the people that God places in our path. You know, I work with a lot of people that are not Christian, but it don't mean I don't love them. And if I can help them with something, I'm going to help them with something. Even though they don't come to church here, even though they don't believe the same things I believe. The burden of proof is not on them, it's on me. I claim to be a Christian. They don't claim to be Christian. Amen? If they can't love me, I can still love them. The Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you just love those who love you, then you are still in the club. Amen? Everybody in this club, we like each other. We are part of a club. We're not a club. We are church. And the church is not the building. It's the people. And it's as we live our lives out in the community that the church is being seen. We are the light and the salt of the earth. God has placed us here so that others can see what Christianity is. We are the examples that God has left to the world. Amen? He says in verse 12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven. You have experienced the freedom that grace brings in salvation. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. For his name's sake, for the glory of God. If you've experienced the forgiveness that God offers through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, if you know what that is, you know, Brother Wesley and I were talking about that before service. Salvation is a miracle. You can tell people the truth. You can show them in the book what the truth says. But if God doesn't have mercy on them and he doesn't open their heart and their eyes to see and their ears to hear, then there'll be no salvation. Salvation is a miracle from God. Amen? Everybody's looking for a miracle. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've experienced a miracle. Amen. Amen? It's not anything that you've done. It's what God has done for you. Then in verses 13 and 14, he says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. You are mature believers who have an intimate personal relationship with God. They know the dangers of this world. Amen? Listen, I know it's easy to get caught up in fear and in doubt. The news is full of that. Amen? They always tell you what the problems are and what you need to be scared of and what you need to be getting ready for. Amen? God's in control of all that, not them. But they don't believe that. They think that they're in control, and they try to control you with fear and with doubt. Amen? And a lot of people live, Jesus said, I came to give you peace, a peace that passes understanding. Amen? I'm not focused on what's going on. I know that there's problems in the world, and there's always going to be problems. If it's not a virus, it's going to be a war or something else. There's always going to be problems. Jesus said there's enough trouble in this world every day. He said, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. I have something that the world can't see in me. Is the Holy Spirit living in me? Amen. And my faith and my hope is in the Holy Spirit in me and the work that he does in me and through me. Not in myself. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But God hasn't left me to myself. Amen. And I thank God for that grace. He says, I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Amen. They know that the dangers of the world. He said, I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. That's Satan, who is the prince of this world system. They are effectively handling the word of truth. In Ephesians 6:17, it says this. Ephesians 6:17. It says this. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's not just enough to know the word of God. I know a lot of people can recite a lot of scripture, but just knowing it and not living it out is no power in that. Amen. You not only have to be able to remember it and know it, you have to be able to practice it. Amen. And your faith is going to be tested every day. You know, every day if God uses two things to grow us up in our faith. Truth and trials. Amen. And there's going to be different trials every day. We live in a world that's full of trials. Amen. There's always something going on. There's always something wrong. Amen. You know, I think about the stock market today, and because of the virus, the stock market is plunging. Amen. Listen, if your faith is in the stock market and not in God, you're miserable. I'm going to tell you, your money can't save you. I don't care how much you have or how much you think you have. Nothing wrong with that, but your faith and your hope can't be in that, because that's going to change. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? God's in control of everything. Man thinks he's in control. Amen? And a lot of times people focus on the world and they put their faith in the things of the world and they put their hope in the things of the world. Those things are passing away, the Bible says. It's not going to last. There won't be any stock market in heaven. Amen? You won't need any money in heaven. There won't be any of that. Thank God for that. Amen? I'm not even going to have a wallet or a driver's license. Amen? Won't need any of that. Amen? I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's going to be nice. Amen? You know, it's going to be totally different than it is here. Now, my faith and my hope is in that. Now, I know while I'm living here, I have to live in the world. I'm not of the world, but I have to live in the world. But I don't have to live like the world. I don't have to be full of fear and full of doubt. I can have a peace that passes understanding, whether they understand it or not. They're not going to understand it because they want me to worry. They want me to live in fear and they want me to live in doubt. They don't want me to live in faith and in trust and in hope. And that's what God has provided for me. I choose the way I'm going to live. I'm either going to live in faith and hope and in trust, or I'm going to live in fear and in doubt. Amen? And God has given us His Word so we can know the truth. And He says the truth is going to set us free. Our new family, we are in the battle together. You know, a lot of people think this world is a playground. I think about all these people that go on cruises all the time. You know what I mean? Everything is fun. And some people are mad because they can't go on a cruise. Amen? That's ridiculous. Amen? Why you get upset about something like that? You know, take precautions. You don't have to go on a cruise. Amen. Cheryl and I go on a cruise every now and then. We get in the boat and we go right on Lake Verret. Amen. That's our cruise. Amen. So we go on a cruise too. That's it. That's about as far as we go. Amen. But that's all right. I like to go right on the lake. Amen. You know, nothing wrong with that. Amen. But you know, it's my faith and my hope. And my peace and my joy don't come from the things of the world. It comes from knowing the truth. Knowing the God who saved me and who loves me and who cares about me and who promises never to leave me to myself. Amen. God brought me through cancer. He brought me through a stroke. He brought me through a heart attack. Amen. He never left me to myself. Amen. You think I'm going to worry about a virus? Amen. I'm not going to worry about that. Amen. I know it's out there, and I'm going to take precautions, just like when I'm driving. Before I pull out on the road, I look, see if there's any cars coming. I just don't pull out, amen? I'm not ignorant. I do take precautions, amen? But I know that God is the one that's in control, amen? And I have a peace about that, amen? Now, as His children, we have experienced forgiveness, the knowledge of God, and victory in spiritual battle. Not only are we to love God and our brothers and sisters, but we are not to love the world. Amen? And you know, that's not easy to do. I mean, you say, oh, yeah, I don't love the world. You know, the world is where we live at. That's reality. Amen? The world John is talking about in verse 15. Let me get there right quick. It says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world John is talking about is the attitudes and values that disregard God, that of unbelievers. They are under the influence of the father of lies, being deceived by their own lust. Amen. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let me turn there right quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to this, the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Listen, I know how the world thinks. You know why? I was once a part of the world. I know how they think. I know what they're worried about. I know what their fear is. And I know what their hope is in. But when you get saved by the grace of God, your faith is no longer in the world. It's in the Word of God. And what He says, it's in His love for you. And His promises to you that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. They don't believe in God. So why would they believe the promises of God? They're not going to believe that either. Amen? They don't believe nothing about God. They think they're taking care of themselves. They actually believe that they can save themselves. And if we could save ourselves, Jesus would have never had to die on that cross. But we can't save ourselves. Amen? So God provided for us a Savior. One who came and died in our place for our sin. This Bible says in 2 Corinthians, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Amen. God provided for us a Savior. We cannot love God and the world at the same time. You know, my mom was a worrier, and she would tell me stuff and get me to worry about it. Amen? You know, I just say, Mom's word, I need to be worried too. Amen? But you know, bottom line, when I came to salvation, I said, you know, I can make a choice here. I can either listen to what Mom says or I can listen to what God says. I can either worry about it or I can pray about it. Who can fix it? Only God can. My mom can't, amen? That's why she's worried about it, amen? But her faith and her hope is not in God. It's in what she can do or what she has. My faith and my hope goes beyond me. It goes to a God that I can't see. Amen? But my faith and my hope is in Him. Even though I haven't seen Him, I believe Him. I trust His Word. I know that He don't lie. And that He promises that He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. I have peace in that. Amen? It don't matter what happens, I'm all right with it. Amen? And a lot of people don't understand that. They say, oh, that's crazy. Amen? I don't think it's crazy. Amen? I have a peace. I can go to sleep. Cheryl, when we were in the hospital, Cheryl used to say when we turn off the light, she'd start thinking about everything that could happen or go wrong and all that stuff, and then she'd hear me snoring. Amen? Bottom line, my prayers weren't long. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, thank you that you haven't left me to myself. Amen. That was it. I didn't say a whole bunch more than that. Nothing else needed to be said because He's in control, not me. And I'm not going to live in fear and in doubt over a situation or a circumstance that God is in control of. Amen. He don't leave us to ourselves no matter what's happening. He's in control. Amen? In verse 16 of John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the flesh, the desires that draw you away from God, the lust of the eyes. John here is referring to sinful passions. In Matthew 5:8, he talks about it. Desires that originate in what we see, and the boastful pride of life, boasting in what one has or what one has done. You ever listen to people talk, and it don't take long. You can figure out what they're trusting in. They're going to start bragging about what they've done or what they have. You know what their hope is in? It's in the world. They are worldly people. Worldly people like to brag on themselves, what they have, what their position is, or what their possessions are. That's what they brag about. And the world looks up to those kind of people. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are humble, who are not trusting in their position or their possession, but they're trusting in Him for their salvation. Amen? That's what our hope and our faith should be in. Not in what we possess and not in our position. Arrogance and pride can overtake us as we try to get ahead of the Joneses, relying on ourselves rather than God for our material possessions and worldly positions. These values are foolish because they do not come from the Father, but from the world. Amen? You know, you don't see any shows on TV about the poor and the humble. You see shows on TV about the rich and the famous. You know, I think about all these preachers that say, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be famous. Where does the scripture teach that? Amen? But that's what people want. So they're telling people what they want to hear. And people love it. Amen. God doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear. Amen. So our faith and our hope can go past this life into the next one. Listen, none of us are going to get out of here alive. Amen. All of us are going to have to die. We're going to leave this place, and everything that we had here is going to stay here. You're not bringing your boat or your truck or your car to heaven. It's not going to be there. Amen. So you just as soon forget about it now. Amen. You won't have to worry about any of that in heaven because you won't have any of that in heaven. Your joy and your peace is not going to come from possessions. Your joy and your peace is going to come from your relationship to God. Amen. And you shouldn't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience that. You can experience that now and today. Amen. Do your joy and your peace come from your possessions or your position? Or do they come from the person of Jesus Christ? The work that God has provided for us in salvation. Amen? That's God's work in us and through us. And we thank God that He hasn't left us to ourselves. Then in verse 17 it says, the world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You know, all this stuff that people think is something is nothing. You can't take it with you. Amen? You know, people used to say, you never see a bank truck. What do you call these trucks? Wells Fargo truck following a hearse. You don't see that, amen? It's not going to happen. Now, we're not to embrace the world's ways or goods. We're not to squeeze out the love of God when you live forgetting your own way and forgetting everything you want for looking good as compared to others. You are not living for God, but you're living for the world. Are you worried about what other people think or say? Or are you worried about what God says or what God thinks or what God says? I only have one I have to answer to, and it's not Cheryl, amen? It's God, amen? You know, it's bottom line. It's not what everybody else thinks or says. You know, I listen to other people's opinion. I listen to what they have to say. But the bottom line is what does God say? And that's what I'm going to obey, is what He says. I'm going to trust in His word, whether they trust in it or not. Now, everything that is not done for the glory of God is going to go up in smoke. It won't mean anything anyway. Now, children of the world live for their glory. They live for their glory here and now. But children of God live for His glory. And they live forever in His glory. Amen? So you're either living for His glory now, or you're living for your glory. I mean, stop and think about what you're living for. How much you have, your position, your possession. Or are you trusting in living for the glory of God? I don't know a whole bunch of people who live for the glory of God. Amen? I pray God grant you that grace and that you understand that it's more important that you live for His glory than that you live for yours. Because if you have any glory at all, it's because God has granted you glory. And it's for your good and for His glory. It's all about Him. Any gifts or any abilities that you have is because God has had mercy on you. Amen. And what are you doing with what God has given you? Are you investing it in the lives of other people? Or are you just storing it up for yourself? I mean, think about it. The world is all about storing up for themselves. Are they going to have enough? I mean, now that there's the virus, they have a toilet paper shortage. People are scared they're going to run out of toilet paper. Amen? I mean, they're out there buying all the toilet paper they can. That's crazy. Amen? You know? But that's the way the world is. They think we got to have more than enough. I don't want more than enough. Because it might cause me to trust in that more than in God. I want what God provides for me, and that's enough. Amen. Whatever He provides is enough. I don't need more than enough. I thank God that He hadn't left me to myself, and I'm content with whatever God provides. Whatever it is, that's the way God intended it to be. And He wants me to trust Him, whether I have more than I need or whether I don't have what I need. Amen? Have you ever given something to somebody else when you had a need? When you know you needed something and you didn't have what you needed, but yet you were willing to share it with somebody else? That's what love does. Anybody can give from abundance. Oh, I have more than I need. There, no problem. Amen. You can have that. But when you don't have what you need and you're able to be a blessing to somebody else, that's what love does. Amen. That's what this is. The world don't do that. The world says you have to have this amount. You have to have this to be secure. My security and my hope and my peace is not in the world. In the world, it's in the Word. It's what God says. He says He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I believe that. He says He's working out all things for my good and for His glory. I trust Him with that. Amen. I believe what He says because I know what the Bible says. God cannot lie. God doesn't lie. The world is full of lies. And they want you to live in fear and in doubt and in frustration. They want you to worry about whether you're going to have enough toilet paper or not. Amen? You know, at one time there was no such thing as toilet paper. That's why God put moss in the trees. Amen? I mean, go back to the moss. That's all there is to it. Amen? Anyway, you know, things change. You know? Now they have commercials about toilet paper. Now, I mean, you didn't use to, when I was growing up, I never saw that on TV before. But now you got to have this kind, the soft kind, amen? You know, it's all the world's way of thinking and what their peace and their hope is in. You know, it's crazy. But that's the way the world is. I can't expect them to change. But they're not going to change me. I can't change them, and they can't change me. I'm His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and I thank God that He hasn't left me to myself. Amen? And I'm not going to live like the world, live in fear and in doubt and in worry. Those things are, the world is full of that. Amen? That's why they have psychiatrists and psychologists and all that other stuff. Amen? Because people can't cope with reality. Because they don't want to believe the truth. And Jesus said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. You know, it's not when the president says that there's a day of prayer. Every day should be a day of prayer for you. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, you should be praying all day long. Amen? Knowing who's in control. You know, and don't get me wrong, I understand that God has given us prayer as a privilege that we might come to Him. Prayer is the breath of faith. If you have prayer in your heart all day long, it reveals your faith. You're constantly talking to God. You know, Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you for that. You know, we just forget to thank God for a lot of things. You know, I thank God every day when I get to work. Thank you, Lord, I made it here. Amen. Lord, I pray you bring me home safe this afternoon. Amen. You know, Lord, I pray my truck starts today, amen. Sometimes it's hard to start, amen. But you know, I don't let that bother me. And if I need to bring it to the shop to have them tune it up, that's all right too. The truck is old. It needs a tune up. Amen. I'm old. I needed a tune up. Amen. God didn't leave me to myself. He provided everything necessary that I might experience His peace and His joy no matter what's going on. Amen. You know, the doctor asked me before surgery, he said, "Are you ready?" I said, "I'm going to be sleeping through this. You need to be ready, not me." Amen. You know, you're the one who has to be ready. You know, I can't do nothing about this. Amen. But God is in control of it. And I know that whatever God allowed, it was for my good and for His glory. And you know, the more you live like that, the more you understand that nothing in this world happens by accident. And that the world is always going to be in a panic about something. And the world always wants you to be worried about this or worried about that. They want your faith and your hope to be in your possessions rather than in your relationship to God. Amen. I know one thing that's not going to change. It's God. He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So I'm going to leave y'all with that thought. Amen. I don't want y'all to be worried about the virus. I want y'all to take precaution. I want y'all to spend time in prayer about it, amen? But I want God to give you the peace that passes understanding, amen? All right, we're going to close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you haven't left us to ourselves, but that you've given us your Holy Spirit, and you've given us your word to lead us and guide us in the truth, Lord, that we might not be tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine, that we might grow in respect to our faith, our love for you, and for each other. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all for listening.